ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭುನಿಷ್ಠ ನಂದೇಂದ್ರಾರಾಯಣಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋಪ ಗೋಪಿ ಸಾಮ ಪುಂಡರಾಧಕೃಂದಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವೃಂದಿ ಸಮವೇತ್ತಿ ಓಂ ನಮಃ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮಃ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ
ಓಂ ನಮಃ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ
ಓಂ ನಮಃ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ
ಓಂ ನಮಃ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ
ನಮಃ ವಿಷ್ಣುವೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸಗುರುವೇ ಶ್ರೀ ವಾಕ್ಷವರಾಂದ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವಿ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಣೆ ನಿರ್ವಶೇಷ ಶೃಂಗವಾರಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶಕಾರಣೆ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ಜನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ವೈದಿಕ ದಾಶವ ಶ್ರೀ ಗೌರವಾಕ್ಷವೃಂದ
ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ
ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಬಾಬು ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 4 ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 37 to purify even the holy places of pilgrimage. Is not such activity pleasing to those who are actually afraid of material existence? Wherefore, there are two kinds of devotees. One is called Goshtanandi and the other is Bhajnanandi. The word Bhajnanandi refers to a devotee who does not move but remains in one place. Such a devotee is always engaged in devotional service. He already chants the Maha Mantra, as taught by many acharyas, and sometimes goes out for preaching work. The Goshtanandi is one who desires to increase the number of devotees all over the world, who travels all over the world just to purify the world and the people residing in it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised Prithivite Ache Jato Nagarari Gram Sarvata Prachakvai Vimarnam. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted his followers to move all over the world to preach in every town and village. Chaitanya Sampradaya, those who strictly follow the principles of Lord Chaitanya must travel all over the world to preach the message of Lord Chaitanya, which is the same as preaching the words of Krishna, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. The more the devotees preach the principles of Krishna Katha, the more people throughout the world will benefit. Devotees like the great sage Narada, who travel all over to preach, are called Goshtanandi. Narada Muni is always wandering throughout the universe just to create different types of devotees. Narada even made Hunter a devotee. He also made Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad devotees. Actually, all devotees are indebted to the great sage Narada, for he has wandered all both in heaven and in hell. A devotee of the Lord is not even afraid of hell. He goes to preach the glories of the Lord everywhere, even in hell, because there is no distinction between heaven and hell for a devotee. A pure devotee of Narayana is never afraid to go anywhere and everywhere. For him, heaven and hell are one and the same. Such devotees, wandering all over the world, deliver those who are actually afraid of this material existence. Some people are already disgusted with material existence and confused or frustrated by material enjoyment, and some people who are intelligent are interested in understanding the Supreme Lord. Both may take advantage of the pure devotee who wanders throughout the world. When a pure devotee goes to a place of pilgrimage, he desires to purify that holy place of pilgrimage. Many sinful men bathe in the holy waters of the places of pilgrimage. They take their baths in the waters of Ganga and Jamuna, places such as Prayag, Vrindavan, and Mathura. In this way, the sinful men are purified, but their sinful actions and reactions remain in the holy places of pilgrimage. When a devotee comes to take his bath at those places of pilgrimage, the sinful reactions left by the sinful men are neutralized by the devotee. Tirthankarvani Tirthanai Svantasthena Kadapratam. Because of devotees, the devotee always carries the Supreme Personality of God within his heart. Wherever he goes becomes a place of pilgrimage, a holy place for understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is therefore the duty of everyone to associate with a pure devotee and thus attain freedom from material contamination. Everyone should take advantage of the wandering devotees whose only business is to deliver conditioned souls from the clutches of Maya. As I said, dear Lord, your personal associates, devotees, wander all over the world to purify even the holy places of pilgrimage. Is not such activity pleasing to those who are actually afraid of material existence? So the previous verses were speaking about the devotees, glorifying the devotees, because these are the persons who preach about bhakti. And the Prachetas understood that bhakti is the only valuable thing. Therefore, they requested simply that we want to serve the lotus feet of the Lord. So, in order to do that, they take association of devotees. Of course, you know, the Prachetas are quite advanced anyway. But in spite of that, they, in all humility, say that we must also take association of devotees for our advancement. So this verse here is describing these devotees of the Lord. And what do? They wander around purifying the tirthas, the holy places, which means that generally tirthas are places which purify people, but the devotees purify the tirthas. So that means they're more pure and more powerful. So what is the reason for this? The reason is, of course, for any place to be pure, it must have some purifying agent. And of course, the tirthas are purifying because they are places where the Lord has had his performed his activities. Generally, these are the places which become pure, or there are certain deities of the Lord there. Nevertheless, we see that here the devotees are considered more purifying. So what do they have that is lacking in the pilgrimage places? So of course the answer is that the devotees carry the Lord personally within themselves. And in this way, they can purify more than even the tirtha places can purify.
In this way, the devotees are given a very exalted status. And though we have many objects and processes that can produce bhakti, all related to bhakti, still, devotees are given a very important position. And therefore, it is said, adau, shraddha, sadhu sangha, in the beginning, faith. So, commentary on adau in the beginning means that beginning has association of devotees, which creates the faith. Then one, that faith, one associates with devotees. So, the devotee is essential for giving rise to faith, which gives rise to bhakti. And without that, we can't begin bhakti. In other words, the devotees are the cause of bhakti. And the reason, of course, is because devotees have within them the Lord, the devotees have within them the power of bhakti. So they communicate that bhakti to other living entities, even if the living entities are in an unconscious state. Somehow, they affect them to some degree. And eventually, they get faith. When they get faith, inclination, favorable inclination towards the Lord, and then consciously they seek out devotees in order to inquire and increase the faith. And then they begin the process of bhakti by sadhu-sangha. So the devotees are instrumental in causing the bhakti, and they are also instrumental in developing the bhakti at all stages, from the stage of faith all the way up to prema. So we'll see that the devotees are always in association of other devotees. And therefore, it's described in Bhagavad-gita that the devotees discuss among each other, paraspara. They are speaking to each other in association with each other. They discuss about the Supreme Lord. And similarly, we see the statements in the Bhagavatam about devotees discussing together. So, association of the devotees is very, very important. That association, of course, can take different forms. Sometimes it may be accidental association in the beginning. Then it may be some instructions, as in the case of Narada instructing Dhruva. So he didn't stay there, but he gave some instructions. That was the association. And then Dhruva followed the instructions, and he got his perfection that way. So. He got the mercy and the instructions, and then he went on with his devotional activities. Or the association may be prolonged association. So it can be of various types. But nevertheless, it has a very significant influence upon the person who is practicing, and it helps them advance. So one of the reasons, of course, is that the instructions are given, knowledge is given. So this Narada Muni instructed Dhruva how to worship and who to worship. Similarly, by Narada Muni going to various places and giving instructions to the Prajetas and others. So instructions are an important element in what the devotee does, which means that we get some knowledge. So this is one of the functions of a devotee. He gives knowledge to others so that they can practice bhakti properly. Of course, what is knowledge unless there is also devotion? And so one can have the knowledge but not the devotion. So one can simply recite scripture to a person, that does not necessarily make them do anything. So one must also have devotion. So devotion also is imparted along with that, those instructions, so that the instructions are actually proper instructions, imbued with devotion. So in this way, the person is encouraged to practice bhakti. So therefore, the devotee gives knowledge, but that knowledge is spiritual knowledge, is divya jnana. And through that, the person is able to begin an effective practice by which he can eventually realize the Lord. So the knowledge aspect is the other, And of course, the presence of the devotee itself has an effect upon another person, even if he doesn't instruct. So with that, of course, is his personal shakti, which can be imparted to the other person even without giving instruction. So that also is there. So in this way, the devotees wander throughout the world, going various places, in order to distribute bhakti. So this is the general conduct of a madhyamadhikari. He distributes bhakti to others. And of course we have many examples of that. Preachers going around and distributing this knowledge of Krishna. So this has become a main factor in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. Lord Chaitanya wanted to spread the chanting of the holy name everywhere. So that involves, of course, the name itself and the teachings about the name. So to spread it everywhere, there must be devotees going everywhere and doing this. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya, he instructed Nityananda to preach everywhere. So Nityananda dedicated his life to wandering throughout Bengal and preaching in different places. So he did this on the instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in this way, Lord Chaitanya empowered others to carry out the preaching over the, even though he stayed in Puri. So in different places, the devotees were carrying out these activities. Therefore, the Yuga Dharma, which means the process for the age, is spread. If it's the process for the age, everybody must know about it. Otherwise, only a few people know about it. It's not the Yuga Dharma. So in order for it to be the Yuga Dharma, everybody has to practice it. So it has to spread everywhere. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya encouraged people to spread the chanting of the holy name everywhere. So he gave instructions to Haridas, Nityananda, and others to spread this chanting. So Lord Chaitanya's movement is largely a preaching movement. Of course, it is not only a preaching movement, because the preaching itself is based upon one's own cultivation. So therefore, one should also develop a taste for the name of the Lord and for bhakti and for the process of hearing, etc. So that's one aspect. The other, of course, is to impart the knowledge and give mercy to other persons. So both aspects are there in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. The Prabhupada is mentioned here, the Goshtinandi and the Bhajananandi. The Bhajananandi develops for himself, and the Goshtinandi preaches. But we cannot really separate the two, because the one who preaches must also cultivate himself, except he doesn't emphasize that over the preaching aspect. So the devotees have to balance these two aspects, cultivating themselves and preaching to others. In the process of preaching to others, one also gets mercy of the Lord. Because Lord Chaitanya wants the message of the holy name spread everywhere, we do that, we get the mercy of the Lord. So by broadcasting the name everywhere, we get special mercy. So in this way, it's also an effective type of bhakti, a means by which we can get the mercy of the Supreme Lord. So we cannot separate the preaching process from bhakti. It also is a process by which we can get mercy of the Lord and advance in our devotion. So the prediction was made by Lord Chaitanya that this process of Sankirtan will be spread throughout the world. And of course, that means every town and village. So we can take every town and village of one state, or we can take it in one district, or we can take it at one country, or whatever. But it says prithivite in the world. So the whole, not only one place, but the whole world should start chanting the name of the Lord. And this way it is the Yuga Dharma. So Lord Chaitanya began the process, but we see that it is now being fulfilled when Srila Prabhupada went to America, and then he began preaching there, and then it spread throughout America and spread to other countries. And now we have the chanting of the holy name in most countries of the world. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada continued this process of fulfilling the prediction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and preaching the glories of the Lord around the world. So now Lord Chaitanya's desire is being fulfilled through Srila Prabhupada's mission.
So what does it really mean? That invariably holy names will be chanted at every moment?
Well, it is a practical process for everyone, so everyone should do it. And then, of course, depends upon the people there. If they don't put any effort, obviously, it's not going to happen also. So it also requires effort. So Yuga Dharma, of course, is the practical process recommended for everyone, whether they follow or not, it's still the Yuga Dharma. But if it is the Yuga Dharma, then it is better if everybody follows it. And this way, they'll get delivered. Obviously, we know that not everybody's going to follow because Kali Yuga gets worse. There's more and more demons, so they're not going to follow. And at the end of Kali Yuga, Kalki comes and kills them all, and they're not following Dharma at all. So it's not that everybody's going to follow Dharma at all times. But as much as possible, we have to let everyone be aware of the Yuga Dharma at least, even if they're not going to follow.
But he
is
definitely not
Nagatara of the Lord. So it's a special case, of course.
And in terms of devotee, can be considered as pure devotee?
What's that?
You mentioned that a pure devotee doesn't preach. He doesn't take responsibility for disciples. Nagamuni, we see that he has.
Yeah. Of course, he's an avatar of the Lord also. And his special power is to spread bhakti. So that's what he does, as an avatar.
Prabhupada also mentioned that Uttamadhikari comes to the platform Madhimadhikari to preach.
Yeah, can do that also. That's also there. Often we'll find that, even like in Lord Chaitanya's case, that he demonstrated in the highest forms of ecstasy that simply stayed in his room. He didn't do anything. He simply sat there as an absorbed ecstasy. So generally what happens is the brain body gets involved in serving the Lord internally, and therefore is not even aware of the outside world. So he doesn't really preach much. The Lord is always in the heart of all jivas. In purport, there's mention of the devotees carrying the Lord. What's the difference? Yes, the Lord is everywhere, but most of the people don't recognize the Lord. So therefore, as we know, accordingly as we worship the Lord responds to us according to what we... So you ignore the Lord, the Lord ignores you more or less. As for the devotee, the Lord takes special interest. So because the devotee is attached to the Lord is attached to the devotee. And therefore, his presence becomes very obvious to the devotees. It's not obvious to the people that don't even recognize him, but for the devotees it becomes very active. And therefore, he becomes very active in helping the devotee in all ways. And of course, the devotees have not only the Lord, but the bhakti shakti given by the Lord, so they are the ones that can preach everywhere. So this again is the mercy of the Supreme Lord. So the devotees are special because they get the mercy of the Lord. The Lord is in the heart of all jivas, but they don't get that special mercy. And they can't distribute any mercy. Are there any standard procedures laid out by which scriptural interpretations can be made accurately? Yeah. In the beginning of the Brahma Sutras there, Baladeva Devusa gives a whole procedure for interpretation of scriptures in terms of consistency within sentences and paragraphs and chapters and whole works and of the rest of the scriptures using different things, different standards.
Never so when devotee travels and preaches and he gives knowledge as well as devotional service. So does it really mean he accepts, he will become a devotee when he starts accepting the knowledge, or do he accept the knowledge and because of that he becomes a devotee?
Well, no. Generally, he has to become favorable first before he can accept knowledge. So the favorability is not knowledge itself, it's accidental engagement in different types of devotion, like taking prasadam or whatever, somehow to get it, or just associating with the devotee or whatever, seeing the form of the Lord or something, that's all. And that helps make the atma favorable. Yeah, in one sense, yes. If that becomes their prime method and they have a proper understanding of the Lord, then it's effective. In other yugas, of course, it is not Krishna's name they chant. They chant other names in other Kali yugas. It's 1,000 Kali yugas and one day of Brahma, so they're chanting other names of the Lord also. So it's not only Krishna's name.
Sometimes we find people getting irritated when you force them. You have to chant Hare Krishna. They are only chanting Govinda, Narayana.
Yeah, they can do that regularly. Let them chant. Please chant something.
Getting them to have proper conception of God, it seems to be next to impossible.
What's that?
You said that if they're chanting and they have a proper conception of God. So, but most other scriptures really don't.
Yes, incomplete. So, therefore, the results will also be incomplete. They won't get the highest. They'll get something, but they won't get the highest level, obviously. So they can get paramatma realization or whatever, liberation or something like that.
They sincerely chant their names, what they are being given. They may be elevated to this. They sincerely chant whatever they are given the names, what they will be.
Yeah, they will get some effect, but according to their conceptions and according to their goals, they will get different things, that's all. As I said, most religions don't have a very clear idea of God beyond Brahman and paramatma. So that, they get that, not much of a relationship. Those associated with Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna, those are the best for us.
So,
Maharaj,
if we talk about the abode of the Lord, still that requires presence of the devotee.
Yeah, well, of course, as pointed out by Prabhupada, generally the tirthas, people visit them, they leave all their sinful reactions there. So, therefore, the devotees must come and purify these places of those sins also.
This can
happen
to
the
pure devotees also. And Yopai, Kalmi Asis is a pure devotee, he leaves all his sins to him and gives to
him. Well, yeah, in one sense. One becomes responsible for another person, then one accepts his bad activities also.
And we have in Ramana Sampradaya, the goal of every Sri Vaishnava is to visit and one or take the Vishnu. Muslims, they say, they go to Hajj. And with God is a Vaishnava, we go to the places where Mahaprabhu visit.
Yeah. Yeah, ultimately, visiting tirthas, there's nothing wrong with it. That's also an anga of bhakti. To live in the holy dham or visit the holy dham or whatever, it's an anga of bhakti. But as we see, the main process is our shravanam kirtanam. Remember, so even if we go there, we also have to do those processes, shravanam kirtanam.
Different kind of people take birth in tirthas. Those who are faithful, those are not faithful. What is the result they are beginning? Different kind of people take birth in tirthas. Those who are faithful in the God, those who are not faithful.
Yeah.
But what will be the result they will be getting, different people?
Well, if they take birth.
Birth.
Yeah. Obviously they take birth in the sense of good fortune. But if they happen to be demonic and whatever, then of course they wasted that opportunity, so what's the use? And they commit offense, of course, even worse. So then they have no future as they commit offense. So it may or may not be an advantage to be born in a tirtha, depending upon the attitude of the person.
Why do you think it's okay? You go to Vrindavan and you think everyone at Vrindavan as a, is, they take it as a prasad. But the person who's sitting may not be a devotee, then how do you accept it?
Sitting where?
Like people who are selling food in Vrindavan.
Oh, selling
food.
Anything in the shops.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's not
accept it as a prasad and they take it
really.
And do it.
Well, that's not. I guess it's prasad in the sense it comes from Vrindavan and it's touched Vrindavan only in that sense. But a lot of that's not offered to the Lord or anything, and they're just merchants that are selling something with no devotion. So it's not, in that sense, it's not prasad.
Sometimes
you
go to
the
restaurants, they may not have babies. They may just offer the picture and but that's what the commission sometimes.
Well,
it
also,
comes
at least they should have some devotion. No, when you offer it, it should be offered to the Lord first before it's offered to the devotees. Then we don't take.
We don't consume it, but we can take it in our hands and satisfy the person.
Yeah, give it to somebody else.
I thought it would be a Mahaprasad, but demigods, they internally offer to their Lord Vishnu or comes
to us. What's that?
The pujari, he gives no offers to the Ganesh or Krum name. Ganesh being a devotee of the Lord, he may offer to Lord.
Yeah, but the process is that the person who's offering should actually offer to Vishnu or Krishna first, and then offer to them. So the misconception is there in the offering itself. What's that?
There's an instruction that we should not worship demigods. How can we accept the prasada of demigods?
If it's offered to Krishna first, then it's offered to the devatas, then it becomes the Mahamaha prasada. Well, he went to all the Shiva temples in South India, didn't he? That's an ecstasy. He saw them as devotees. It also, there's also an injunction in the one of the offenses is to offend the devotees. That's one of the aparadhas. Do not in the among the Angas of Bhakti, it's number 16, 17. Don't insult the devatas. Well, we respect the devatas as servants of the Lord, but we don't worship them as supreme. Well, if we're going to get Krishna Bhakti, better we go to the great devotees of Krishna. So the great devotees of Krishna are the residents of Raja, not the people in Svargaloka. And they worship Vishnu generally.
Krantana se sishibat bhagavatam ki
jai.
Vishwanath Varnavadas ki
jai.
Dvende se sishibatam sanchev Prabhupad ki
jai.
Thank you. Okay.